Alright, our lesson this evening is titled, God is Able. From Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21, says, Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Defined, the word able means having the ability to perform a duty or task successfully. Too often we cannot help but think of everything in human terms. A lot of times, since we are human, that's how we think. And it's kind of hard for us to think spiritual thoughts at times. And we sometimes take the human factor and kind of muddle up the spiritual factor. And so we need to look at this. Sometimes, because of that, we place limitations upon God. We sometimes think that, well, God won't do this. We might get off into a place and think that we're all alone, and we might do something we shouldn't do, and all of a sudden, we've forgotten that God is there. We cannot escape God. You know, Psalm 139, where can I go? Can I go to the highest mountains? Behold, thou art there. If I go to the lowest sea, behold, thou art there. There darkness does not comprehend thee. And so, God is everywhere. And really, when we remember God is there, we're on our best behavior. It's when we forget God is there that we're not on our best behavior. So sometimes we do put these limitations on God. And like I say, we think we can hide. Of course, God exceeds all human comprehension, and we fail when we try and limit God. It does not work. Now, God is able. He is able to deliver. You know, Daniel, one of my favorite stories, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down before the image of Nebuchadnezzar. And they were threatened to be thrown in the fire. And here's their response. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. And that was their faith. They believed God would do it. But what they said later was even more impressive. But even if he doesn't deliver us out of your hand, we will not do that which is contrary to what our God commands. And so, great story, great example there of faithfulness in the face of trial. And so that's what they showed for us. He is able to raise up children from stones. In Luke 3 and verse 8, therefore bring forth fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And so, John the Baptist was talking to these people, and they said, well, we don't need your preaching around here. We have Abraham. We're from Abraham's seed. And he says, if our God wanted to, these stones around here, which there's probably a lot of stones around, he can raise up children to be faithful to him if he so chose to do so. He is able to fulfill all promises. Romans 4:21, and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. This is talking about Abraham. Believed that if God promised something, he was able to perform it. And let's face it, no promise of God has ever failed. None. Nil. Nada. None of them. They have all been successful. Every promise he has made is there. The only thing we're waiting on is what's still yet in the future for us. But still, we know that if we will be faithful to him, he will deliver us. He will save us. And he will protect us. So we can put our trust in God because he is able. He has the ability to do these things. He is able to make us stand. Romans 14 and verse 4, who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and stand he will, for the Lord is able to make him stand. I mean, when we have our faith in God, we have no problem declaring our faith in him. You know, that's what Daniel did. Daniel bowed down before God, even though it was a violation of the law, and he knew what would happen. And everybody else knew what was going to happen at the same time. He stood, and he stood there strong and firm. And it was the Lord that helped him to stand. It was his faith in God. And for us as well. I mean, we never know what's to come in this future of this country. It might be a day when all of a sudden the law says you stand up for Christ, you're going to be shot. I mean, we know that's taking place in some parts of the world already. Who knows? It could happen in this country someday. We don't know that. But are you willing? Are you willing to take a bullet for Jesus if that came down to it? The Lord will make you stand. He's able to. He is able to make all grace abound. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able. Okay, there's a typo there. Y'all make note of that. He is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. So he is able to make all grace abound to us. And let's face it, we need that grace. He is able to subdue all things. Philippians 3:21. Who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself. And the NIV says the power that enables him. God has the power, he has the ability to do these things, to subdue all things. He's in control. Man is not in control. Humans are not in control. Human thought is not in control. God is in control. Jesus Christ is in control. He holds all things together. God is able to keep what we have committed to him until that day. 2 Timothy 1:12, for this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted him until that day. What is it we've entrusted to him? Our souls. We've entrusted our souls to him, and he is able to guard it and to keep it. He made that promise that nothing can snatch us out of his hand. Now, we can turn away from God. We have that ability as human beings. But there's no power on this earth that can snatch us out of his hand if we put ourselves in God's protective hand. He is able to save him from death. Hebrews 5:7. In the days of his flesh, that's talking about Jesus, he offered up crying and tears to the one God able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. You remember that story? Jesus went out. He left the three sitting back. He says, wait here while I go up. He fell down and prayed to God. Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thy will be done. And he prayed three times there. Just like that. And he cried about this. I mean, we all face the uncertainty of death. And frankly, it scares us sometimes. But Jesus knew he had to go through this. As if there's any way I didn't have to do this. His humanity was speaking out volumes right then. All right, but God was able to save him. God could have. Even Jesus himself said, now if I want, I can call the angels of heaven and they'd be down here fighting for me. But God was able to save him, to keep him from doing this. But this was necessary. And God knew it was necessary, and so did Jesus. He is able to save and destroy. Matthew 10:28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. And then in James 4:12, there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? He is also able to keep you from stumbling, if you'll pay attention. See, in Jude 24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless, with great joy. It's put on us to learn what we're supposed to do, and then he's able to keep us from stumbling. How is that going to be possible? It's when we put our faith in God and obey him. When we obey him, we're not going to be stumbling. And we will also stand in the presence of his glory. We will stand before God one day. That's guaranteed. Everybody will. And we will stand there and we will give an account. We will stand before the great judge and basically receive our sentence. Because the judgment has really already taken place when you think about it. He's already decided what kind of people will go to heaven and what kind of people are going to go to hell. And if we follow the directions he has given us and use the tools he has given us and we are faithful to God, then we get to go to heaven. But if we're not faithful to God, we join that crowd that basically goes off into eternal damnation. Now, Jesus is also able. Jesus is able to save. Hebrews 7:25. Hence also he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. That is what Jesus does. He makes intercession for us. And he is the one, he is able to save forever. I mean, eternal salvation. Those who do what? Draw near to God. Drawing near to God means getting our mind focused on God. Setting our mind on things above where Christ is, not on the things below. When we get our minds focused and our thoughts in our head focused on God, Jesus is the one who makes it possible that we can have this salvation. He is able to heal. Matthew 9:28, after he had come into the house, the blind men came up to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Now, how did they have that type of faith? Well, they already heard all the stories, right? You go back to Matthew chapter 4, Jesus began his ministry. He's going out around all Judea and Galilee. He was healing all sorts of people. Then several chapters, these people come up. "Hey, we've heard you heal people. We believe you can do it." And so Jesus was able to heal people. And he did this by the power of God. Jesus is also able to drink the cup. Now, what this means, Matthew 20:22, "But Jesus said, 'You do not know what you are asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?' They said to him, 'We are able.'" Now, Jesus was talking about one thing. They're thinking about this little cup that has the fruit of the vine in it. Jesus says, "I can partake of this, but I'm not going to do it until I do it with you in the kingdom." And so the disciples were thinking, okay, pick up that cup and drink it. Yeah, easy enough thing to do. We can do that. But the cup Jesus was talking about is what he was going to have to endure. The scourging and then the death upon the cross. That's what cup Jesus was talking about. And he asked the disciples, "Are you able to do it?" "Well, sure we are. We'll go with you even to death." You remember that's what Peter said? Peter said, "Well, I'll go with you even to death. I'll die for you, Lord." And just a few hours later, "I never knew the man. I don't know what you're talking about." He is able to keep us in his hands. John 10:28-29. "And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish. And no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." You know, for years, the different groups have used this passage to say that once saved, always saved. That's not what it's saying at all. No human force can drag us out of the Father's hand except us, except me. I make that choice. If I'm going to remain faithful, if I turn my back on God, like we read a passage this morning, we forget our God, he will forget our children. And so we should not let that happen. He is able to aid those who are being tempted. Hebrews 2:18, "For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted." Our God, Jesus Christ, came as a human being. He was alive. He experienced all the emotions and all the pain of humanity. He knows what we're going through. He's not so distant and far off that he has no idea what we're going through. You know, in the business world, usually the workers down in the trenches, that they look way up to the lofty heights of the CEO, and he has no idea what we're doing down here. I mean, he's just up there making rules and everything, and that's how people consider it. But Jesus was there. Jesus went through those same trenches, and he knows what we experience. He knows how difficult it is, and sometimes we beat ourselves up because we fail in doing what we should be doing. We know that, and we grieve ourselves because we have turned our back on God, and we have forgotten God, and we beat ourselves up about that. But Jesus, he went through the same thing. He knows what we're going through, and so all we have to do is ask for just a little bit of help. Can you help me, Lord? Yes, he is there. He knows how to do it because he's experienced exactly what you're going through. The Bible is also able to build you up. Acts 20 and verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. All those who are saints, those who are set apart for a purpose, all those who are holy. That's what he's talking about. The Bible, the word of God, the word of his grace. That is the Bible. That's what it is. The grace of God, Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible's all about, Jesus Christ. It is able to build you up. It was able to make one wise into salvation. This is what Paul told Timothy. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The Old Testament scriptures were able to guide one to that salvation. Why? Because they were pointing and they were looking forward and said, this is what's going to happen. And the problem is, the Jews didn't believe it. They didn't accept what God was telling them. They didn't accept what the prophets were telling them or the psalmist. They just didn't accept that fact. So when Jesus came on the scene, they had in their own mind what the Messiah was going to do for them. And Jesus was a big disappointment for them. Because Jesus wasn't about them. Jesus was about all humanity, which was very distasteful to the Jews. They thought they were very privileged and special. And guess what? Jesus kind of put them in their place and they didn't like it. So from that day forward, they sought to kill him. The Bible is able to save your soul. James 1:21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. You put it in your heart. That's where you plant it. You plant the seed. You put it in your heart. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word I have implanted in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's what we do. When we have God's word in our hearts, in our minds, and we know what God's word says, then there are certain actions that, oops, I better not be doing those things. Or if I say something, oops, I need to ask forgiveness for what I've just said. Whatever the case might be, whatever we've done, we would know that God is not pleased with such an action, and we immediately, please forgive me, Lord. You know, that's the concept of pray without ceasing. That's exactly what that's all about. As we're going through, we're human. We do make mistakes. We make mistakes all the time. But with Jesus there, forgive me, Lord. He will help us. He will guide us through that. And if we continue in that, our soul will be saved. Now, we've talked about God and Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit, the Bible. Now, what about our ability? Do we have the ability? There are certain things we do have the ability to do. We must realize that we cannot do it on our own, nor can we earn. We're talking about salvation. We can't get it on our own. We need help. And we need to find out where to find it. And of course, God's Word. God provides it. God sent His Son. Jesus died on the cross for us. The Word of God tells us all about that. But what can we do? We are able to resist. Every time. Ephesians 6:13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm. Yes, He gives us the ability. Why? Because He is faithful. And He won't put He won't allow anything that will conquer us in our path. Remember 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13? He does that. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able. So let's put it this way. If you give in to temptation, you can't blame God. You can only blame yourself. And that's where it all starts. That's where sin starts. James 1 and verse 12 tells us that. Sin starts in our own selves. You know, a lot of times we want to blame Satan for this. We want to blame society. We want to blame others. When we sin, there's only one person to blame, and that is us. We're the only one. And whether you realize it or not, we have the ability to say no. We have the ability to say, I will not do such a sin. We have the ability to follow the example of Joseph. You remember him in Egypt? All of a sudden, here's this woman throwing herself. He says, I will not sin against God. He took off running. God gives us that ability. He makes it possible for us. But a lot of times, we don't take advantage of it. We are able to quench. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you are able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Satan is throwing everything he has at you to get you to turn away from God. We must realize that. When we go out and we find and teach a new soul and convert them to Christ, Satan gets really busy on them. And we've got to be there to support them and help them and guide them and tell them that's just Satan working. Satan's doing everything he can. Satan's got a toolbox. He uses a lot of tools. And if one tool doesn't work on you, he's going to be finding another one. You know, in James chapter 4, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But is he going to run away and stay away? Absolutely not. This devil, he's going around like the roaring lion, 5:7, and he's waiting around the bushes. He's hiding around the corner. He is waiting for you to be vulnerable. And then he will come. He is studying you, just like a lion studies the herd of whatever it is, the gazelles or the antelope. He looks and he finds one that is limping. There's his meal, because that one cannot run as fast as the others. He finds one who looks a little sickly, because he cannot keep up with the herd. Guess what? That is his meal for that night. Satan does the same thing. If you show any signs of weakness, he thinks he's got you. But God says, with His help, you have the ability to resist him. We must strive to be able to finish the course. Luke 13:24. Strive to enter by the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. There's a lot of people who want to go to heaven, but they're not going to be able. Why is that? Well, partly because they're following false doctrine. They're listening to these teachers who are teaching error, and they think that they're going to heaven. I mean, you all have a lot of friends in the denominations. They think they're going to heaven. You can't convince them otherwise. And you yourselves know they are not being taught the truth. And their place when they stand before God is depart from me is what God's going to tell them. And you know that. And it kind of bothers you because they won't listen to you. There's many will seek to enter heaven, but they won't be able. Those who are in the Lord's body, who do not give their all, who do not be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, who are not diligent to add to their faith the virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and brotherly kindness. If you don't do that, if you don't continuously grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, guess what? You will not be able to enter heaven either. That puts a lot on us, doesn't it, when we realize these things? See, only with the strength of God, our Father, the strength of our mediator, advocate, and Savior, Jesus Christ, the power and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the everlasting Word of God, are we able? What are we able to do? Whoops. We're able to reach heaven. That's the only way. We can't do it on our own. We need them. To be a good Christian, that's what we need the Word of God for, to tell us what we need to do. To be what God wants us to be. And He wants us to be like Him. So we are able to do that. Otherwise, He wouldn't give that to us. He wouldn't have given us that command, be ye holy for your heavenly Father is holy. If we weren't able to do that, He wouldn't give us that command. Have you ever been given a command that you weren't able to do? All of us. Our boss gave us a task and there's just no way. I can't put this report together in 3 hours or 2 hours or 1 hour. And so, yeah. But there's a realistic goal that He gives us. And we can. He gives us the ability to be there. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. You see, God is able to save our souls. He is able to deliver us. He is able to do these things. And if we put our trust in Him, then we will be able to join Him in heaven. In order to do that, we have to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, then you're missing out on the greatest opportunity. You haven't been paying attention to the greatest story ever told. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Why? Because you deserve death. Plain and simple. That's what Romans chapter 3 tells us. You sin, you deserve death. Jesus said, I'll do it for you. And that's what He did. We must change our ways. Turn away from our selfish ways and start serving others. Start serving God and live for Christ. Confess His name. Be baptized for the remission of our sins. And then start living that faithful life. And if we need help, we have a whole host of people able to help us. We have deity and we have each other. So keep those thoughts in mind. We're going to sing our invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.